Well, it's been great this past couple weeks to have my sister with us here, and I think it's been 5 years since I've been back in the States, 5 years since she's been here at the church and even in the States, but I was able to come back for, I think most of you know, this past week our family had a family reunion, and I think I heard it's been 31 years since our whole family has been on this side of the ocean together. Like, is that right? 31 years? Yeah. And I don't think it's been quite that long on the other side of the ocean, but I think it's only been like 12 or 15 years or something like that on the other side. But we were able to, both my brothers just happened to be on furlough at the same time, which most of the time doesn't happen. And then my sister was able to come back, and we were all able to get together this past week for a family reunion, and so that was great. Tennessee will never be the same after we were there, but we're so glad that my sister's able to be with us, and she's actually leaving tomorrow to go back to Uganda, and I'm very thankful for that. Wait, you didn't let me finish. You just assumed something, right? See, that's what you get for assumptions, right? I'm very thankful that she's going back because in 2 weeks, she's going to be at the airport helping to pick our group up. See, isn't that a good reason that I'm glad she's going back? See, you're like, how dare you, Pastor? I had a good reason. I mean, come on. Let alone just to get her out of here anyway. But, you know, that's what all of you were thinking, right? Yeah. No, but we're so glad that she's been able to be here. And so I've asked her to take some time tonight just to give a little bit of report. Again, she's not technically on a furlough. She came back just kind of for like this family reunion things. But I figured since she's here, I would probably be stoned by the church if I did not have her say something, right? And so some people were saying, hey, your brother Matt got to say something. When is Alicia? I'm like, calm down. I'm still the pastor, okay? I think I can figure this out, you know. But so she's going to come tonight and share a little bit about the ministry there in Uganda, and then maybe even take some questions or something. So can you make it up here? She hurt her knee in Uganda, and so, of course, we haven't been giving her any grief about, you know, babying it or, you know, anything like that at all, have we? No, not at all.
It's nice having somebody on my side out there. All right, where's Leanna? Is she here? Okay, I haven't forgotten. She reminded me that I get to speak tonight, so I have not forgotten that. So like he said, I felt like it was camp. He's up here just talking away, and I'm like, okay, there went that thing, and there went that thing. Thanks a lot. Anyway, so 5 years ago was our furlough. Sharon and I came back, and those of you that know Sharon, you know that it's very strange to see me without her, but it has been 5 years, so I'm sure there's some of you who don't know me, you don't know Sharon at all. She is my twin. You can see that we are identical twins. And we did not choose that name for us. The people gave that to us because we are conjoined at the hip. And we are together 24/7. We've been together for 13 years now, working together. Twin is the best description that describes us. And I can't imagine and could not do what I do without her. And I always tell her, I say, you know, if something happens to me, you're good. You can keep going, but if something happens to you, I'm in trouble. So anyway, we work together. Pray for her. We have been working on her migraines. She gets very bad migraines. Most of the time, it's not a problem. It doesn't conflict when we're teaching, but it has started to become a problem. And when she gets them, it's the kind where part of your body goes numb. So she can't speak, she can't see, and that usually lasts for the whole day. It wipes her out. Even the next day, she's very weak. And so we've been trying to come up with a preventive. I thought I had found one. She was just starting one this month, and she's been on it the whole time I've been gone, and I was like, yes, it's working. And then she called me 2 days ago and was down with a migraine. And I was like, oh, back to square one. But we keep searching, so please pray for her and her migraines, that they do not conflict when we're trying to work with the teachers, and that she would have them on off days if she's going to have them. But when we were here 5 years ago, we were working in the schools. We taught in about five different schools in Kasese, and we were having about 1,500 to 2,000 students every week when we would teach. And right before we came back on furlough, I was looking at a map of Uganda, and there was a dot representing every town, trading center, and it was just a sea of dots. And I looked at our little dot in this sea, and I'm like, well, that's not fair to all the ones that aren't in our dot. Because even though we had, you know, thousands of students, we weren't even reaching all of our dot. And so what about the ones in that dot, and that dot, and that dot, who don't have somebody teaching them? And so we began to pray about it, and we'd throw out ideas. Well, what if we try this? What if we try this? Trying to broaden our horizon and reach more. And every time we'd come up with something, nothing would work. And so right before we came back, I talked with our other brother, Keith, and he had just started a ministry called VMAM, Village Mentoring and Assistance Ministry. And he was going out working with these guys that were church planting, church leaders, training them to get their churches established, training them in doctrine and things. And I asked him, I said, well, is anything being done for the children? Because over half of Uganda's population is under the age of 15. So it's a very young country. And he said no one was doing anything with them because he was focused on the men. And so during furlough, we prayed about it and we went back. And I thought, well, I don't want to be the one to leave our schools. I don't want to say, okay, we're done with you, moving on, that sort of thing. And then an amazing thing happened in 2020, COVID. And all the schools closed down and were closed for a very long time in Uganda. And so that gave us the freedom to walk away from the schools without us leaving them. Everybody left. And so we were able to move to Masaka and partner up with my brother. And so we started working with about 50 different churches. And I had had curriculum, like you can see up there on the screen, I had had curriculum that I had written. I just finished last month, or the month before, the entire Bible curriculum, written specifically for them, that it has their culture in mind. It's very basic, very simple. They don't need to have a lot of papers to do it. It just tells them the lesson, the verses that they need, and the application that they need to bring out. And it's color-coded. Believe it or not, the color-coded throws them off. I thought that would make it simple. No, but we tried. Anyway, so we just finished, and so it will take them 3 years chronologically to go through the Bible with their children. And that's perfect because their classes are from 3 years to 12 years. So by the time, if a child is there the whole time, he is going to repeat going through the Bible three times. And that way, because there is doctrine in these lessons, this is not just a, oh, Jesus wept kind of a thing. There is doctrine in these lessons at their level, but still doctrine. And so that by the time they graduate or go out of the children's class, they will be firmly established in the Bible, not what religion says, but what the Bible says, so that they can move right into the church and start helping the pastor. He's not having to retrain them and try to get religion out of their minds. They are just straight from the Bible. And so that was the plan of writing that curriculum. There is a company called Global Recordings Network, and they have these amazing flashcards, and it's what I have always used, even in the schools. So I contacted them and I said, well, I'm going to work with about 50 different churches starting off, not to mention the next group. And I said, it is going to be impossible to pay for 50 sets of the Bible pictures and pay for the shipping to bring it over to Uganda. You know, is there something we could work out? And they graciously gave me the file for a very small fee, the file of all the pictures, so that I was able to mass print them over there in the capital city. That is stacks of just the Old Testament pictures. Go to the next one. I'll show you that one. So this is how we have our setup. The ones on the left are all Old Testament. The second one is all Life of Christ, and we are working on building one for the Acts and Epistles. So each stack is designated for a church. And so what we do is we rotate on a three-month basis. We meet every 3 months. We go through the lessons that they are going to teach for those 3 months so that they know what it is that they're trying to bring out. And then we give them the pictures that they need to use for those 3 months. Then the next time we meet, they bring those pictures back, turn those in. They get the next pictures that they need. We go over those lessons, and we just keep going like that. They give their pictures. I put them back on their stack. That stack is designated for their church. Once they have finished going through the program, then we will give the pictures, we will give the curriculum, everything to their church as a, not necessarily a gift, they've earned it because of their faithfulness. But that way it shows that they are sincere, that they are committed to this. And we have, our first church is supposed to finish January, I believe, coming up. And so I'm excited to just give that whole thing to them because they have gone through it all and have been very faithful. So that's how we keep them organized. We try to keep them organized. But it's so amazing working with these teachers and seeing. We've dropped down. You always weed out some that, oh, they're all excited at the beginning. Oh, yeah, you know, I want to be a part of this. And then they realize there's work involved, and they start to go away. So we're down to about 35 churches, and we meet with them. You can go through the next couple. It shows some different meetings. So we meet with some on the western side of Uganda, western central, but most of our teachers are all on the eastern side. And we have several churches, different groups that we meet with. Every month we drive all the way across Uganda, all the way across, and we have all different kinds of groups. Some are quicker than others, some, they're just like anybody else. But the thing is, we are working with churches that we did not start. We are coming in after the fact. So I have no idea what kind of people they're sending for teachers. And so we have a rule that anytime a new teacher comes to join us in the program, we do the paper trail method. If you remember that from the last time, it's what we used to do with our older children in the schools. We give them a piece of paper. We tell them, write 1, 2, 3. Number one is your name. Number two, they can give you the answer, yes, no, I don't know. And then I ask the question, are they 100% sure? And they can answer that. Then for number three, they have to explain why they put that answer for number two. Just because they wrote yes doesn't mean it's accurate. And so then we take those papers back, and then I answer on that paper, hand them back. So you can have several conversations going all at the same time. And so we make our teachers go through the paper trail as well. And several teachers have been saved. Several have been baptized. It's kind of a good thing that your teachers are saved if they are trying to lead your children's ministries. But recently, the teachers have been getting so excited because they are starting to see fruit in their children, and children are starting to get saved. It is not a mass, how many of you want to go to heaven, raise your hand kind of thing. We go through all of that, how to deal with them, taking your time, make sure they understand. And even when they, every week they fill out a report, anytime they put that someone gets saved, I say, all right, who talked with them? What did you do? How did they come to you? And make sure that it is an accurate, obviously you cannot see inside the child's heart, but getting the teachers to be as accurate as possible on that. And the teachers are getting so excited about their kids. They're getting saved and their kids are getting baptized. And that's a blessing to me to see them doing it. And so it makes me happy because, like I said, that sea of dots, and I was in one, and right now we are in 35. And so once this 35 is done, we're gonna go get more. We have people asking us all the time, please come and do this with us, please. And I'm like, I wish I could, but I can't. just wait. This group will finish at some point, and then we'll come and join you. And so that, it's totally different. I've always dealt with children, and so it's a totally different ministry to me that now I'm working with the adults to teach the children. But I love it. I love what we get to do with them. It's amazing. In the meantime, when we are home, we are not home very often, but when we are home, we still are doing discipleship with some different ladies. I think there's one of discipleship on there. That's some of the teachers. Actually, that's the Imbolic group. Yeah, keep going. That's one of the other zones over in Caliro. Do pray for us on that. The road that we drive every month is considered one of the most dangerous roads in the world. Not because of the road, though it has its issues, but because of the drivers. And we make that trip every month. It's a whole day trip there and back. Keep going. So these are some of the teachers teaching in their dots. Oh, so the boxes that you saw, we give them those plastic containers because in the village, everything is dirty. There is flooding sometimes. And so we give them those plastic buckets. They keep their teacher's books in there. They keep their pictures. We give them a Bible. We give them a little flash that they can put into their phones with some music to learn to teach songs to the children. And so they keep all of it in their bucket for safekeeping. And then again, that bucket will become theirs once they finish the program. Keep going. Yeah, keep going. So this lady in the middle, she is actually a pastor's wife, and Sharon and I had the privilege of discipling her. And she is an amazing young lady. It was a sad situation. The pastor's wife died. She suffered for a very long time, but he found this young lady, and she's amazing. But anyway, that was when we were discipling her, and the last time we were out there a couple months ago, she was excited because she is now discipling two other ladies, and she has also become one of the teachers in the children's ministry, and so that's exciting to us that it's continuing on. So anyway, we stay busy, we're hopping, we're running, but it's like what Luke said the other night. I get to do it. I do not deserve it. The Lord should not allow me to let me serve him. And so the fact that he does, I just love what we get to do. I love my life. I love what we are allowed to do for him over there. And so I have 5 prayer requests, if you could keep these in mind. The first one was Sharon's migraines, that we could come up with something to prevent her migraines. The second one is safety, because we are constantly on the road, out in the villages, going to the east side of Uganda all the time. Also for tomorrow, like he said, I will fly. I get to fly to Paris tomorrow, right in the middle of the Olympics. So that's gonna be fun. I've never gone through the Paris airport, so that will be fun. And then also, if you can pray for Sharon's mom. If any of you remember her testimony from last time, her dad has gotten saved and her sisters, but her mom is still very strong in the witch doctor and in her good works. Every time we try to talk to her, she comes up with a different reason why she thinks she's going to go to heaven, why she's saved. And several years ago, she had somewhat of a mental breakdown. And so it's difficult to get her to be able to carry on a serious conversation. And so when they come, we try to take advantage. Sharon spent a week there while I was here, just trying to, she had a couple opportunities with her, just to put something in there, hoping that it gets in there and she thinks about it. So please pray for her mom's salvation. And then one more health is my knee. Like you said, I won't go into all the details, but they're trying to prevent having to do a surgery. And so that would be the greatest thing if you could pray that I don't need to have the surgery and that it will just heal and I can keep going. But if it does need to have the surgery, that I could find the right place to get it done, that I could even do it maybe in Uganda there. So just pray for that wisdom and guidance to know what to do about my knee. But then another very, very big one is Sharon's visa. We have tried. Last time it was no problem getting her visa and coming on furlough. This time when she went in, they falsely accused her of working a job because she was here for 6 months. And even though they had no grounds for it, no nothing, the woman just denied her on a whim. And that was last May. And when we got back online to make a reservation for another appointment, the first available one was not until this year, October. We are still waiting over a year later. And that's just for an appointment. If they deny her again, it could be another year's wait for another appointment. So pray for her appointment. It is on October 23rd. And just pray that they would grant her the visa so that we could come on furlough. We are overdue for a furlough, so please pray for that. And I do have, I'm telling you, he's been harassing me. He's wanting prayer cards, he's wanting videos, he's wanting all kinds of stuff, and I'm not on furlough. But my parents did have some. They are a little, they're from our furlough 5 years ago, but we never change. We look the same. So the only thing that's not correct is just our Uganda address, but everything else is just fine. So I have several of those if you would want one. You can look at Sharon, don't look at me. She's much better looking than I am. So do you want me to do questions or?
Sure.
Anybody have any questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Right. So the water jugs were a Christmas gift because normally we don't meet that close to Christmas, and last year we did, and so we wanted to do something special for them because they have been with us for a while. And so they will use these big, we call them jerry cans, or water jugs, because they do not have city water in their houses. They have to go down to the river or go down to the borehole, a water hole, and pump it and carry it back. And so those are very necessity things that they need, and so we gave that to them for a gift. The benches, I don't know if you noticed in some of the pictures that the kids sit on the ground because that's all they have. They'll try and bring mats out, but that's all they've got. So we tried to come up with a way for them to get some seats for their children. But I never want to just give things to them, because when you just start handing them things, it causes a gimme, 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 gimme attitude. And it, don't get me wrong, it's not that I didn't want to help them. I do very, very much. But I also want it to be important to them and that they have satisfaction in earning it. And so what we did is we covered some of the previous lessons that they taught their children and asked questions from it. And so if they could get a 70%, we're talking about like 30% people here. If they could get a 70%, then we would build a bench and they could take that back to their children. And so it was anybody in their church, not a joint thing, but anybody. If anybody in their church could get to 70, we would do that. And so that's what the benches that you saw was, they had earned those for their children. Another thing that we had done for them is a family out in California had donated a lot of money to help them with shelters, because most of them are just under a tree. And so again, it is, they put some in, we put some in. And to do that, there is just regular poles, like eucalyptus tree poles, which is the cheaper side. So we tell them if they can come up with the poles, then we will buy the iron sheets, which is much more expensive, and we will even have the builder come out and construct it for them. And so we've had several. Some are still trying. Even right before I left, they were like, is that still available? We're almost there. And I said, yes, the iron sheets are waiting for you. As soon as you get your poles, just let me know. And so we've been helping many of them get some structures for their children to get out of the sunshine, to get out of the rain. And so we try to help them. in different ways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Awesome. Yes, ma'am. So some of them we do together.
Alicia, repeat the question so that everybody can hear.
I'm sorry. She asked if right now I'm traveling with my brother, but I said there are other ones asking us to come to them. So how would that work out? Is he also going to go there? So right now, some of the ones that we travel to, we do together. But I also have others that I work with that he does not go to. And so if it works out that we are in the same place together, that's fine. But it's not only the ones that he's working with. Mm-hmm. I have a big group in Tororo, which is south of Mbale, asking us to come. I have people more from the north in the Sirodi area asking us to come. I have some on the west side in Imbarara asking us to come. So we have many more groups waiting. On a waiting list, waiting for us to come. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys are so welcoming, and both Sharon and I feel at home whenever we're here. That first Sunday I was here, and everybody's like, happy birthday, happy birthday. And I'm thinking, how do you guys know it's my birthday, you know? And just the fact that you would take the time to know that it's my birthday made, not that my birthday's special, it shocked me that I appreciate it. That's what I'm trying to say.
We tell that to everybody every Sunday, so.
Just happy birthday. Yeah, I heard you create things to include yourself.
What?
Like groups.
No, we just raised the age limit. You know, I would not be a fair brother if I said, you know, you left, Sharon didn't have migraines, you're getting ready to go back, she starts having migraines. Maybe put two and two together there, right? You know, I'm just saying, right? You know, I mean, when you leave, my migraines stop too, so, you know, yeah. You'll stay. I just am miraculously recovered. I don't have any migraines anymore. No, but be in prayer for my sister. She's got a great ministry there. And, you know, she can talk about that, and a lot of us can just kind of sit here and not really grasp really what she's doing. But when you go out to these villages that have nothing, nothing, to be able to have material to teach, or to even just have a picture to show. They have nothing, right? And so to be able to have those materials is so important for those churches there, for their children's ministries and things. You know, for us here, you know, we can say, hey, we need some new children's material. We can look online, we can order from this place, we can order from that place. You know, we can go back and see what we've used before. I mean, we've got shelves that have, you know, materials that we've used before and stuff, and we can go back and look through them. They don't have anything. Nothing, right? And it's easy to say, well, bless God, they should just use the Bible. Okay, we'll do that for you. Right? All of our teachers, we're going to take away all your materials. All you have is just the Bible, right? Now, could you do it? Sure you could. Yeah, right? But isn't it a whole lot easier to be able to have materials and have pictures and things to get it on appropriate age levels and stuff? And so so that's a huge, huge blessing to so many of these churches that, I mean, you know, Sunday school classes, there's no Sunday school classes. It's a mango tree. Literally, meeting under a mango tree, right? We were just talking, as I mentioned, we were talking to Brother Michael, and I was telling Alicia, we were talking about one of the, you know, just meeting under a tree, you know, in the sun, or if it rains, you know. But we were talking about, I think one of the areas that Pastor John has lined up for us to go when we go back in a couple weeks is going to be probably a village that looks very similar to that. And there's going to be really nothing there other than probably a mango tree. They might try to put up some type of tarp to give shade. But here's the thing, and this is where, especially as a missionary and going over, it becomes very humbling. The shade that they put up is not for them. They put it up for the visitors who are coming. I've been trying to tell Michael and John, I said, hey, our group, when we come, we want to do something, right? In other words, we want to do something there at the church. If it's painting a wall, if it's, you know, whatever, cleaning something. And they're like, Pastor, you can't do that. We can't let you. You're the visitors. You're the guests. We can't let you do that. I said, I won't do anything, but the people coming will, right? So, you know, that's fine, you know. just kidding. But that's, they're so gracious in that way, they're so outgoing. And so to be able to have a place to meet, even if it's just iron sheets, or to be able to have some pictures and things to be able to use in children's ministries is such a huge asset to them. And so even at, can you show our church again? Can you pull up that picture again? For those of you that don't know, that's the church there in Mbali we'll be at in just about 2 weeks. And most of those people there from the church there in Mbali, I know it's hard to see some of them there, but you can see several of our church family. The guy on the far left right here in the red shirt, many of you have heard me, there's two Michaels that we have in Uganda. Michael, the radio station manager, but then there's another guy named Michael. This is the guy on the far left bottom, and he's in the red shirt. And Michael was one of the first guys that we led to the Lord there in Uganda, and Michael's a cripple. And he's one I've mentioned before. He basically walks on his hands. His feet are crippled. He walks on his hands. But that man is probably more faithful than anybody that I know. And when it's time to go out for outreach and to go out and invite people to church, he can't go and walk the streets like everybody else can, but he'll go out and he'll find a place on the street. And he'll sit there, and as people are coming by, he'll be sitting on the ground, and as people are coming by, he'll hand them a track as they're going by. So what's your excuse? Right? Learning to teach, and these are a lot of the folks from our church there that Alicia's been able to help teach how to be good teachers and things like that. And so our church there always enjoys Alicia and Sharon going up and ministering there. So pray for her. She's going back tomorrow, and just some of these other situations that she's got coming up as well. Okay.